You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, hope you all had a great Easter weekend. This is Series 8, Episode 8 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you this week, and we're brought to you as ever by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. Delighted to say we'll be joined on the show tonight by Wexford FC striker Aaron Dobbs. We're going to be talking to Dobbsy about what has been such an unpredictable start to the First Division season. The only thing that hasn't been unpredictable, Gary, Longford Town, very consistent, can't win a game. The wait goes on.
Probably the only way to the best way to describe it. The wait goes on, implying that we will win a game. So that's a very positive outlook you have there, Kieran, after us looking at them in the past week. We'll come to them later.
Oh, we will, because the listeners, I don't want to accuse them of reveling in our misery, but lots of Longford Town-related comments in the BTS hotline, so that will come up towards the end of the show as ever. But look, we'll get stuck into the action on the pitch over the Easter weekend. Obviously, it was games Good Friday, games Easter Monday, so as we always do on the show when we have these double-headed weekends, we'll talk generally about who the big winners and losers were over the course of the couple of match days. Just to spin you through.
Me and you anyway, losers.
big losers. To spin you through the Friday results first in the Premier Division. Shamrock Rovers winning the Dublin Derby by 3-1 against Bowes in Anil Reynolds' first game in charge. Derry booed off the pitch at halftime and at full-time as they lost at home to Galway. Waterford were beaten at home by Sligo Rovers. Sligo Rovers' good start to the season continues. Drogheda and Pats, I predicted a draw in this one. It was a 0-0 draw at Weavers Park. And Shelburne continuing their fantastic start to the season with a 2-1 win against struggling Dundalk. And then on the Monday, one of the worst loud derbies in recent memory, Dundalk 0, Drogheda 0, a couple of sendings off in that one. Waterford beaten again by Shamrock Rovers, who are starting to tick over nicely now. 2-1 win for the Hoops there in the RSC. Shells playing out a scoreless draw against Derry, who again failed to score. I think we're going to be talking about them quite a bit tonight, Gaz. Pats 3, Sligo 0. Pats finally kickstarting their season with a big result there against High Flying Sligo. And Galway beaten at home by Bohemians by 2-0. Alan Reynolds picking up his first win in charge in just his second match. So, look, I suppose we'll start with the big Dublin derby on Friday night, Alan Reynolds' first game. I think they were decent in the first half, by all reports, Bowes, but Rovers really turned it on in the second half. Is the Terminator Rovers back?
Probably is. It takes a while for it to wake up, it'd appear. A few games into the season, and it took them a while to get going, but they've seemed to have got going. I think it's always probably easy enough to get going for a Bowes derby, particularly out in Talla. There's a new stand out there, over 10,000 people at it, which is great to see. Obviously, so Dublin County Council need to get their praise for that as well, but Rovers fill it out at the same time, so fair play to them for that. Good game. Well, no. From a Bowes perspective, it was an okay game in the first half. I think they... Would it be fair to say they've ran out of steam or kind of, I don't know, was it not, maybe lost their way a bit to an extent?
Bowes fans were very critical online at the second half performance, but Bowes fans do like to, there's no in-between with Bowes fans, it seems, when it comes to online. It's either fantastic or it's very bad. So, I don't know, I think I'd rather focus on how good Rovers were in the second half. Yeah. It seems that... Dara Burns has finally clicked into gear. He had a bit of a slow start, but he's starting to score goals for them now. A lot of their top performers starting to put in some big shifts.
Well, that's it. I think we were always expecting that to happen at some point. There was no real qualms about that. It was just a matter of when they were going to start doing it. And as you mentioned, the Terminator stuff. Was kind of always on the road, I think. So good to see, well, from a Rovers point of view, good to see that it's finally clicked and they're starting to kind of not put teams away, but like just be more Terminator-like that we've seen in the last couple of seasons. Just beat teams and, you know, you don't have to bury them alive, but they're putting goals by them. They're getting through it. So probably I don't think it was an unexpected result on Friday. Unfortunately for Rennie, it was his first game, so it's not great to lose your first game, but I think it was always on the cards no matter. But and you know what, I'd be surprised if they take a point off Rovers the rest of the season, regardless, you know what I mean? Like their squad just isn't good enough.
Yeah, there's a big gulf in quality between the two sides. You can see that second half. Rovers, yeah. Rovers are a bit like when you have a really good horse. It's not just about, he wins on the day and you kind of celebrate it for a couple of minutes, but then everyone is straight away looking, what's next? And with Rovers, I'm always that way. Yeah, this is a great result in the league. I'm already thinking ahead to the summer and ahead to Europe. I hate to keep harping on about the lab, but I think Leon Poles is going to be a huge issue when it comes to Europe.
Yeah, well definitely. Like they cough up more chances. I think that's the problem with Rovers.
The goal they can see, though, that's nothing to do with the players in front of him. That's just terrible decision making. He comes out, he's in no man's land.
Yeah.
When he realizes he's not going to get there, he doesn't even try and affect, you know, the Bose striker. Do something, you know, jump in front of him, do something. He just stops and a comical goal to concede. I wouldn't say it took the shine off the result, but, you know, 3-0 in the Dublin Derby, a clean sheet against Bose would have been nice. But I just don't think he's up to it, I'm afraid. And I'd worry for Rovers in Europe with him in nets.
Oh, absolutely. Like that was a comical goal from Poles. And I totally understand what you're saying about it being not being a defensive error or anything like that. It was just a ball played through and he decided to run away. Baffling stuff. And like his defenders were giving him grief, and rightly so. Like, particularly what was the last minute of the game? Close it out. Like, you've already got the clean sheet is just right there in front of you. Just go and get it. And he lets him down. I don't know what he was thinking at all. The ball striker didn't even like try and do him or anything, like didn't even give him the legs or the hips or nothing. He just kicked it in.
Yeah.
So very poor from the keeper. But I think we've been seeing plenty of keeping issues across the league so far this season.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think from a Rovers perspective, they won't care. It's another 3 points on the board. It's the direction that they're going in is positive for them, and I think they're going to just keep motoring on now.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Do you think that's them now, ready to motoring?
I suppose they've got a big game on Friday, haven't they, against Pats. Pats had such a disappointing start. We'll see whether the result against Sligo was a fluke or whether it's the start of something on their end. And I really hope it is, because look, we're going to get to Derry in a second, but I can't take another season of Derry just disappointing us the way that they did last season and the game the other night. I want to have a final word on Bose very quickly. Okay, obviously disappointing to lose your first game in charge, but I think it's important for Alan Reynolds. He got that bounce back in the next game. And me and you were talking about this on the way down to Cove the other day. His comments when he took over, people were telling Alan Reynolds, oh, you've got a good group of lads in the dressing room. He said, I don't want nice guys, good guys. I think he said something like, I want winners. And
he has a long way to go to get winners out of that ball.
He does, but they went to Galway the other night, and you know what you're going to get against Galway. Real physical match. You're going to be pinned in, high ball, set pieces, and they withstood that. And not only that, they actually scored two set pieces of their own. And I was talking to a couple of people that were at the game, and they said, you know, you would expect that Galway, they can out-muscle a lot of sides and bully a lot of teams, but Bose, pound for pound, were well able for them physically. So I think maybe Rennie might add that bit of hardiness to Bose, which is exactly what they need. Let's move on to talk about one of the big results of Good Friday. Derry City 0, Galway 1. The goal that Derry concede is absolutely amateur. Stephen Walsh, ball over the top, flicks it over the head of Connolly, and one of the defenders does put him under a bit of pressure, but credit to Walsh, he stays upright and tucks it away into the bottom corner. But I don't think it's even the goal that Derry concede that's the big issue here. It's what we've been harping on about for two seasons solid on this podcast. It's the boring football that Derry City play. I think they had feck all shots on target in this game, lots of possession, but they would just bore the life out of you. And I know Shells probably contributed to that a little bit on Monday as well, but Shells are top of the league. They're unbeaten. They didn't need to force the agenda on Monday, even though they were the home side, which is a bit unusual. You'd think the home side should be pushing for the 3 points. But for Shells, that was a grand result on Monday because they got the job done Friday against Dundalk. They're sitting pretty top of the league. It was on Derry to go and bounce back. And it was just another absolutely lifeless, conservative, boring, mind-numbingly boring display from Derry City. And I'm getting fed up of it, to be honest. I'm not even a Derry fan.
Yeah, no, sick to the teeth of it. It's what we've been saying for quite a while. And it's probably a bit of probably what I was blathering on about as regards to the Ireland manager's job. I don't want a manager that has done a coaching course in the last 20 years. I think this, like, and I think Derry are affected by it. Unfortunately, this is down to Rory, where trying anything what might do something is, totally verboten, not allowed to do it. Against the philosophy of the squad.
Yeah.
But the philosophy is possession and not losing the possession at all costs.
Yeah.
And doing nothing to actually win a game seems to be the philosophy that
win the game on the possession stats.
Yeah, and winning it on playing through the thirds. And, yeah, you know, we had a lot of the ball and we had three million passes.
Claim the moral victory then. That's how I feel about Derry. It might sound harsh, but I think I think we've got a lot of tweets from Derry fans this week, and I think a lot of people are in agreement that something needs to change at Derry, but we've been looking for this to change for quite a while, and it hasn't. I see they've brought in another analyst today, the first ever remote analyst for the goalkeepers, so more stats been introduced to Derry.
Yeah, more stats, more analytics.
Less action.
People may be familiar with Charles Barkley and of NBA. From the NBA, he's on studio program on TNT, and he has a great piece about analytics. Let people look it up themselves. But it's just like, what exactly are you achieving here? Like, it's, you're doing nothing. And even like, what's even just like on the game itself, if you look back at the highlights, about 5 minutes before the goal, the Stephen Walsh did score, he was actually in almost one on one, and I think Conley managed to make a block. And so it just goes to show that, like, right, we just had a scare here. I think Walsh is the only Galway player in picture, and there's like lads throwing their bodies at it to try and stop it, a shot being heading towards goal. And then 5 minutes later, he does the same again, flicks it over the head of I think it was Conley again, and makes a hames out of him. Sends him to the shops. Like, he should be embarrassed as a footballer for letting that happen.
Surprised Connolly there. He's just committed. He's gone, tried to win
but
the ball.
I wouldn't even give him that credit. That's just dog laziness. And, you know, I think it's got to the stage now where I think the Derry team are just codding themselves at this point that they're actual challengers. Because, like, you mentioned it there. I've seen some of the tweets myself. Like, they're not next or near the level of Shamrock Rovers. They might take a point off them, they might beat them, but actually they're not capable with this style of play. I don't see it ever working.
Yeah, fully agree.
And they can continue with all the, you know, as you mentioned, moral victories, all the passes, couldn't just unlock it. And now the excuse is even less because they have Hoban.
Yeah. Now, he didn't play on Friday, and I think he went off on Monday. So there's a bit of a doubt with him going into the Dundalk game. Now, I do think they'll, if Pat Hoban's on the pitch on Friday, they'll beat Dundalk because he will be like a dog with a bone. He'll be out to prove a point. But
any Eagles can beat Dundalk. Yeah. Let's not talk about that even as a game. Or we need Pat Hoban to beat Dundalk. If that's the case,
but I think I described this when we were going into this game here as this was the big headline of the weekend. But this wasn't a surprising result. Me and you both went against Derry winning this. Now, I think we both went for draws last week when we were doing the predictions. But we said they'd make extremely heavy lifting of it, and my God, they duly obliged.
That was a sham, pure sham.
The worst thing is, this is what Derry fans have been saying for a while now, is that they're just so boring to watch that going to the Brandywell is a chore at the minute.
Oh, completely. Like I, as I said to you there a few weeks ago, I went to the Bows Derry game and I really regret it going. It was just so boring. It was like, there was a bit of drama, but that was mostly because of like Bows, and they just got rid of Decky, and Derry have a decent record actually in Daly Mount in recent years. And I was expecting, you know, right, these boys are down on the down in the dumps, let's say, Bowes were, and you know, we can get a good 3 points here up in Dublin. They actually have had a decent record up in Dublin in the last couple of years, I think. But no, they filled the togs good and full against Galway. And I can see why Derry fans are like this. Like, we've been talking about it for a long while.
It's, yeah, and I think when
the most boring side in the league.
When we first started talking about this, I think people thought we were Lula a bit because they were looking at Derry. They're going all right, second in the league. They'd probably won an FAI Cup. The quality of player they had, and people said, what are these two lads talking about? But slowly, I think people have started to realise that what we've been saying is right, that this style of play is not going to win them a league. And sometimes I feel like, me and you are only in our early 30s, but sometimes we nearly come across as dinosaurs on this podcast, giving out about stats and all that. There is place for stats in the game, and I think what we're going to do in the next while is get someone on that's in that stats world and talk to them about, you know, striking that balance. Because me and you, I think, both feel at the moment, the modern game, not just League of Ireland, not just Derry, but the modern game, way too much emphasis on stats and styles of play and systems and all that. And there's not enough individuality in the game anymore. You watch the Arsenal City game at the weekend, one of the most boring games of football you'll ever watch. It was built up to be, you know, the game of the season. Now, I know that can happen when games get hyped up to the last, but at the moment, I think too many teams, same story, desperate to keep the ball, but not hungry enough to go and actually take a chance to create that chance to try and unlock a defence. I think Derry are the chief culprits of that in the League of Ireland at the moment. Great result for Galway. We'll talk a bit more about them later on. The other newly promoted side, Waterford, just starting to slow down a little bit, aren't they, after that great start? They were beaten on Friday by Sligo Rovers, and then they were beaten on Monday by Shamrock Rovers. Are you worried that maybe they're starting to slip a little bit, Waterford?
To an extent, maybe. Like, I think there was always going to be a bit of staleness coming into their play, or come into their season. Like, they're not going to be able to, you know, keep that really high early start of the season going for too long. They signed well, they got Amand in and stuff like that, but I think you're moving up a division, like, it's not going to be the handiest of jumps, even with their, you know, really good squad that they have. So it's probably always going to be a bit of win one, lose one type idea for a while. And then even go through a period of winning nothing. But yeah, look, I have to say, Jesus, starting to look over my shoulder here a bit from a Sligo Rovers perspective. another win here. Now, they were brought back down to earth on Monday, but good goal, a serious goal. Who was it? Is it Chapman?
Yeah, he's had a great start of the season. Didn't know a lot about him before he signed, in all honesty, but He's performing well at the moment. And that was Sligo Rovers up to second on Friday night. So as you said, you're starting to sweat a little bit. Brought back down to earth Monday, but I suppose that probably had to happen at some stage. But it'd be nice to just see Waterford pick up a result or two now again in the next few weeks, just to try and arrest that slide a bit. But I think there's positives. The boy has them all out on the wing, looks a player and a half. They'll not keep a hold of him for too long, I don't think. But hopefully they can get a few results soon. Right, where does that leave us?
Just on Waterford, like, if it'd be nice, or like, you don't want to see a team like totally, you know, floating amongst themselves at the bottom, you know, protecting other teams from getting pulled into a relegation battle. So, we already have an idea that it's going to be Dundalk. It'd be great. Well, I wouldn't mind if Dundalk got relegated. No, you wouldn't mind either. It'd be handy travelling for you. I don't know. I think it'd be nice if Dundalk managed to, you know, stay up for a couple of seasons, or not Dundalk, Waterford, stay up for a couple of seasons in the Premier.
Yeah, what about Drogheda? Are they in the mix for bottom two as well?
100%. Yeah. Sorry, Kev.
I'm kind of skipping over things here, but they drew with Pats on Friday, which, you know, fine result at home. Fairly dull game, but grand result for Drogheda. But then Monday, I suppose, a point away from home at Oriel Park would generally be viewed as a positive, and they did go down to 10 men as well, Drogheda, so probably was a decent result. But I think first half, maybe they might have left a couple of chances behind them. But I think the general feeling from, like, Dundalk fans themselves have said this, that were at the game on Monday, by far and away the two weakest teams in the division. That was the general feeling on Monday. Would you be in agreement with that?
I'd certainly say so. I think, obviously, Dundalk is the more interesting, or not interesting, more...
No, it's the bigger story, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's a bigger story. Like I think Drogheda have a fair understanding of where they are, where they're coming from, and where they're going. But I just think, I feel like it's points like that are great for Drogheda if they can pick up a few wins. Like, they don't want to be the team, as I mentioned, in the number 10 spot, trying to get out of it, because there's probably going to be two or three teams looking to get into the relegation playoff, or not looking to get into it, but looking to stay out of it. So that could be a nice little race in the second half of the season. But I think for Drogheda, it's absolutely fine. They know that they're up against it in a lot of games. And you mentioned, you know, we were hammering Derry there, and we probably didn't hammer them enough about the dullness of their style of play. That's beautiful for Kevin and Dara at Drogheda. They don't care how dull Latin is at all. The duller the better, probably, in their eyes, because they can pick up more points. And probably, as we mentioned before about Drogheda, they're probably going to be instigating a lot of what UCD did in their couple of seasons in the Premier Division, staying in games, you know, not getting obliterated in games, and then they can
I think that's probably fair, unless they can get Perot firing, and I do think he'll probably still come good. He's missing some great chances.
He missed a great one
against Pats on Friday. I think if they can get him firing, then he could be the difference in games and allow them to not just be trying to cling in, as you said. Whereas you look at Dundalk and you just do not know where the goals are going to come from. Now, I know they got a goal late on against Shells on Friday, so that was their second goal of the season, their first goal from open play, and it was actually a great cross from John Mountney, who's back in the team, and maybe he can help steady the ship there a little bit. But like, the lack of quality on Monday was extraordinary, and I think nearly the bigger story was Stephen O'Donnell's comments after the game. I'm just looking at it here to give any of our listeners the exact quotes. So he kind of took it upon himself to defend himself. He said, "We are getting players in 10 days before the window closes at the start of the season, getting young guys at the start of their careers. That is where we are at. That is where Dundalk is at. People need to realise that this club was not going great before I came in. I gave up a hell of a lot to come to this club, and that is the bottom line. So I'm sick of people questioning it. People need to get realistic about where the club is and where it has been the last 3 years. That is the bottom line. People need to start getting behind it, because this is where we are at this moment in time." He mentioned the club going through so many different owners in recent years, and he even goes back as far as the short in 2020 season, and said after 18 games they were 22 points off the top. So on that basis, they would have ended up with 40 odd points if it was a 36 game season. So he mentions then the fact that they were sixth the season after, with more experienced players than they have now, and that he got them obviously into Europe in their first season. He doesn't see fifth last season as a failure. So he's kind of taken upon himself to defend his record at Dundalk, as well as Stephen O'Donnell. But for me, if I'm a Dundalk player there, is he kind of saying the squad isn't good enough?
Well, I think he is saying that, which I don't think this little soliloquy he went on will help him in any way improve his situation or improve the on-field situation either. I think probably wasn't the wisest choice of words, which unfortunately he's been kind of become accustomed to. In ways, I think Jerry Malone had a picture up. He said, like, trotting around the pitch in Talca like an hour after the game or something like that the other night. Not ideal behavior, but I think, excuse me, all of this, you know, getting players in 10 days before the season, and young players at the start of their career, and all this, you know, stuff. That's one thing, but that also says a lot about the club. And on one hand, he seems to be trying to shoulder a lot of club issues, that aren't his domain, but actually have a serious impact on his playing squad. It's no good getting a player in 10 days before the start of a season. You know, I think you mentioned in one of the games earlier on the season that they just played like a bunch of strangers that they never even met before.
Still are.
Yeah, still are. Yeah, that's also fair. But I think he seems like a lad. You mentioned a player to me before who'll remain nameless. I think it was like even before the podcast. I think like you mentioned to me that like this fella is definitely searching his name on Twitter after matches. Yeah. And I kind of feel that's what Stephen O'Donnell seems to be doing. Like, he seems to be getting any nameless, faceless agent on Twitter. He seems that's like might be hammering him or the club. He seems to be like really taken personally.
I think he'll just comments like he met the other day, comments about, you know, the local media at the end of last season. Appears as a man that's under massive strain, under massive pressure, which he is.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, you know, maybe like we'll say instead of, you know, wasting time going on, you know, homilies after games and keeping
definitely hasn't helped himself in that regard.
No, he hasn't. No. He absolutely hasn't. And that encourages people, well, this fella can be got at handily.
Yeah.
If I'm an Egot now, I go up to the Oriel Park and I just row in with the old press squeeze after a game. Like, you could say anything to him.
Mm.
And he'll just go off on one and, you know, get a load of content and, you know, it's handy done. Like, hey, this fella can be poked at and, you know, it's not great. And, like, I don't think that helps players. You know, I said it before last season, him running up and down half the pitch and being let do it, which is a bigger problem. You know, you're looking over, geez, I need the manager. We're not going great here. We're losing against UCD in the bowl. And my manager's running up and down the pitch. Like, I'm supposed to look to this fella for guidance.
Mm.
No, I can't. I'm not going to listen to this fella. He could give me the winning lotto numbers and I don't want to hear it. I don't think the persona that he is, like, portrayed in the past, would say maybe 6 or 8 months, has really shown a man that is in control. And I know he's not, like, you know, and it is a fair point about getting players in 10 days before the start of the season and stuff like that.
Yeah, with that in mind,
he needs to get in front of all that.
With that in mind, if Dundalk, let's just say hypothetically, were to change the manager tomorrow morning, I don't know who they bring in, but they change the manager, do you think they would get greater performances than they're getting now, like vastly different, or is the squad of players just not good enough and too thrown together last minute?
I think it's the latter. It's too thrown together the last minute. I don't think there are too many things that can be done to alleviate that. They're just not there, and I don't think they're going to get there, to be quite honest, in the bits that I've seen of them.
Do you think they'll go down?
I think they're great candidates for going down directly, yeah. But just on that, it's like there's still certain things that, like, O'Donnell has in his control.
Oh, 100%, and he's not doing. 100%, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll say maybe, okay, I know they conceded 2 against Shells and 1 was an own goal, so. But, like, Shells aren't exactly free scoring, you know, putting 4 and 5 past everybody. They're very, very hard to beat. And they've, and they are chipping in with goals at the other end. But, like, is it going to be that successful of a result as a only concede 2? Yeah, it's not bad against Shells, considering Dundalk's position. But I don't know. I don't think O'Donnell is making enough of an attempt at stopping teams. I know the football is bad, but, like, he's just going to have to lean into that.
I think he's another one that's too married to philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna play this way, and
yeah.
I will agree with one thing. Probably Dundalk fans in the main, like, need to really, like, forget about the good times, because they're gone for probably the next 10 years, certainly. Well, maybe not 10 years, but, you know, this League of Ireland football, things change very quickly. But certainly in the next 5 to 6, 7 years, I don't think they're going to be winning anything at all. So I think, you know, you had the heyday, you had the good times, remember them fondly, but you need to separate that from what's going on now.
I think you're right, but I think it would be a great shame if they went down, because give me a second. I know you're going to hammer me. I thought the days of the boom bust were gone. Like, you think back, it was nearly a curse to win the league 10 years ago, because you were going to be relegated to the first division within a few years due to financial. That happened to so many teams. And I know Dundalk will have no sympathy around the league because they got all that European money, didn't invest a penny into Oriel, and they can talk about leases and issues like that and whatever, but the condition of Oriel, it's not a runner. The way the club has been run, it's just not a runner either. They've brought a lot of this to their own doorstep, so that's why they will have
all of it to their own doorstep. All of it.
I just think it's very sad that a team that had so much success, this could be maybe the greatest demise of all the bad stories we've had over the last 20, 30 years. This really could be the Hollywood film of them all. Horror show stuff, like the heights they were at. They were playing in the Emirates Stadium a couple of years ago. And now look where they are. They could be heading back to the first division. So I think it would be a shame in that regard. But yeah, they've definitely brought a lot of it on their own doorstep.
Hold on. You're not getting away that handy. You can't just say that about Dundalk. It would be an awful shame. Every bit of it brought to their own doorstep. I know a certain owner.
I've said that.
I know. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
Certain owners haven't helped the situation. Certain other issues have gone on. But there's no one has a right to be in any division whatsoever.
Hmm.
And more, no more than Longford Town deserve to be in the Premier Division. Not at all. You're there on the merits of your play, and they're not doing it well enough. And their off-field situation is enabling the on-field stuff, crap that people are seeing now at the minute. There's no... I don't want to hear about like, oh, they were great and they don't deserve to go down. Everybody deserves where they are.
Yeah. I think we need to talk about Shells just before we move on to the first division. You know, a good Easter weekend for them, the win against Dundalk and then a draw against Derry. They're ticking along nicely, and rumours that the Duffer, he's not going to shave that beard until they lose a game. It could be a while.
Is that the idea, is it?
I know, I made that up. But it's a very impressive beard.
Yeah, fair play to him. Yeah, I don't. Have they lost a game? They haven't lost a game yet, have they?
No,
just on
no.
the yeah.
No.
Well, what can you say? Probably disappointed to even concede that goal on Friday against Dundalk, which is fair enough. But they just keep motoring on. It's interesting that, you know, I think obviously I did say it after that preseason game that I keep talking about against the Town. Looking back in that game now, I wasn't worried about the Town at all after that. I was like, oh, like Shells are just class. How wrong I was.
Mm.
I was right about Shells, but I was wrong about the Town. I think that beard is going to last a good while longer, because who's going to stop them? Who's going to take points off them?
Yeah.
Like,
just don't look like they're going to lose that many games this season. That's why
I think the goal scoring bit might come an issue. Like I think Bert opened his account there, and I know they've scored like 11 or 12 this season, but I'd be kind of concerned that they won't be able to maintain that.
Bert had a great game the other day, first time we've seen that in a while, and we talked about it before with the other chap that came from Bowes, the midfielder
O'Sullivan,
how he looks a different player under Duffer. Like, if you can get the same out of Bert, and I don't know how long they can keep Jarvis for, but it just would be very funny if, you know, Bert and the other chap are like huge driving forces in helping Shells to maybe win a league. But I think they can be front runners for a lot of the season. I think when it comes down to the business end, yeah, they might be outclassed by a Shamrock Rovers. I think they're at this moment in time, they know what they're at in terms of game plan compared to Derry, who there's just no adaptability there. Shells are they're probably similar to Derry in a way. They're very stuck to their game plan, but it works for them. Whereas Derry just still haven't accepted the fact this isn't working and we need to change it. Shells have got a formula there that works. And I think I definitely see them being in the top three. Now, Pats, we'll talk about them very briefly as well. They finally got going, you know, with the win against Sligo. They have to go and back that up now. They've got the ultimate test with a game against Rovers on Friday. But if Pats can't kick on, I've already said I don't see Derry pushing Rovers this season, in all honesty. So that only leaves Shells then as the team to go and chase Rovers.
Well, that's it. There's an 8-point gap there at the minute. I know Shamrock Rovers have a game in hand. I don't know, you're already discounting Sligo there, even though they're...
Yeah, sorry, Sligo fans, yeah.
But yeah, like, it's disappointing that, like, we'll say a team that has won the Cup last season and Pats are very off the mark so far this season. I'm over Derry.
Yeah, same.
In the current format. I don't want to know about it. I'm tired of it. I think that's the best way to describe it, to be quite honest, which is unfortunate considering some of the players that they have. But they're just a million miles from it, so I don't see that changing.
I think it'd be great for the league if we did have a Shells. Now, if we had Shells, Pats, Rovers all at each other's throat, it'd be even better. But Shells, Rovers would be great with the Damien Duff aspect there. I think it'd be great.
Well, I think the thing about Shelburne is like they're just not going to lose a bag of games.
Yeah.
They're going to be Terminator light, let's say, this season, and they have been very much so far. They've only conceded 4 goals. I think that's the fewest in the division. So why can't they go the distance? I'm not sure they can. Probably a bit light in the squad and maybe a bit light up front. But we found out today, I think they're going to be unseeded in the conference this season.
Looking that way.
Yeah. Oh, it's looking that way. That's not decided, is it?
No, but probably will be.
Fair enough. So like that's another, you know, heartache that you're going to have to deal with as well. That probably will be nice for a while, but I'd say Damien Duff will be a bit annoyed that he has to do it at all, because it's a league that he cares about so much at the moment. And for Shells to get back to that level would be great for them.
But then again, with Rovers, if they go deep in Europe, then that might offer up opportunities for the likes of Shells and Pats. So, look, long way to go. We won't make any predictions yet. But look, I think we've given kind of everyone a fair crack there in the Premier Division from the bank holiday weekend. So what we'll do now, we're going to take a little break and we're going to go to our guest tonight. That is Aaron Dobbs, the Wexford FC striker. He's going to join us on the show. And then after we hear from Dobbsy, we will get stuck into what happened in the First Division over the last couple of days. I'm delighted to say Wexford FC striker Aaron Dobbs joins us on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Aaron, I suppose it's been a bit like long for a stop-start season for Wexford. A couple of games called off, 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses. How would you evaluate things so far?
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on, Kieran. Look, it's hard to get going when you kind of, you only find out today before a game that the game is called off, and you don't know when the next game's going to be, and I'm sure you lads have found out, like, he's went a couple of weeks there without a game. It's tough on the body, preparing every week, like in training, thinking about Friday, and then come Friday morning you find out you don't have a game, and you're in the Saturday morning, then back to the trenches doing running and trying to get yourself ready for next week. But look, as a collective, it's been a bit up and down. As you said, 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses. It's not too dissimilar to last year where we had a slow start. Very inconsistent. And I think a lot of clubs are like that this year, to be fair.
Bit of a wild division this year, isn't it? So far, anyway.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's just one of them this year where anyone can beat anyone. Literally, like, it's, you've seen the first game of the season there, Athlone beat us 3-0, and I think they've struggled, to be fair, since to picking up a couple of wins here and there. But it's one of them. Anyone can beat anyone, and I think if we go out against anyone, we fancy ourselves, but in the same breath, we could go out and get better 3-0. It's just one of them divisions so far. Just take it as it comes.
Yeah, and you played Cork on the Easter Monday, and a very positive performance, good result, 1-1 against many people's title favourites.
Yeah, look, and to be fair, they're the only essentially full-time team in the division, so they are the ones to beat. Like, when you look at the start of the season, it's theirs to lose, really, with the resources they have and the following they're expected to win the league. But we're confident in our camp that we've a good squad put together there, and I'm sure many teams do as well, that they can really put a foot down, and especially with Galway and Waterford, 2 other full-time teams gone out of the division, there's definitely a room there for someone to step up.
Yeah, do you think there's a feeling among a lot of teams in the division, I suppose, that's in a similar position to Wexford, that there is an opportunity there, maybe not to win the league, but to give it a right good rattle this season with the 2 big clubs gone up?
Yeah, 100%. I think the last couple of years there's always been either Waterford or Galway, and then a decent team coming down out of the Premier. So definitely, yeah, there's a chance this year for a team to step up and go far in the playoffs, and hopefully Nick a playoff against the Premier team.
Of course, it was a good season last season for Wexford getting into the playoffs, and you kind of went under the radar a little bit. As you said, maybe a bit of a slow start last year, And people were looking at Wexford and the squad you put together and thought maybe you were underachieving. But then second half, very quietly, just put along a nice little run of form in the second half of the season and achieved your objectives. So probably hoping to do similar this time around.
Yeah, look, it's when you look at it, like the squad last year, the average age, it was ridiculous. Like there was a stage there when Noah Mason was in goal, he was 19. Reece Webb was 18 and right back. Luke Brown was 17 and centre back, with Keane O'Malley was 19 and James Crawford was 17. So like you have an average age of 18 at the back there. And look, with these players, it's the first year in senior football, so it's going to take time. And you've seen that, like, it's kind of the start of the year was the boys getting experience essentially. And then once the mid-season break hit, as mentioned, Luke Brown got brought in, Owen Mason got brought in, and Thomas Lou was brought in. So we made some good mid-season signings, and that really kick-started our season, really. And look, we felt around lucky in the playoffs, but and it's not too dissimilar to this year. We still have the core group of players from last year, and a lot of young players still. So look, we've played with each other last year, and this year we're confident we can go one step further. But again, it's probably the start of the season hasn't been as we hoped. We're scoring goals, but we're conceding silly goals as well, so we're kind of trying to outscore teams at the moment.
That's a bit of a trend across the division. We're talking about that most weeks here on the show. The defending doesn't seem to be ideal with a lot of teams, and seen a couple of gaffes from a few keepers as well. Why do you think that is? Is that something you expect to see throughout the season, or is it just a little blip that the division is going through?
Yeah, I think it's just a case of teams feeling each other out again. Usually the first round of games is where teams to play each other every the first time and to feeling out each other's squads. I think the second round of games, I mean, you get a feel for how teams are set up and how they're going to play, and you'll see a lot less goals conceded, I think. Again, but yeah, as you know, the first division's crazy, so tired of cutting these things.
You mentioned the young makeup of the squad last season. I suppose, as you said, it's probably still quite a young squad this season. So at 25, you're nearly one of the more senior heads in that dressing room. And I know you recently made your 100th appearance for the club as well, which, you know, at 25, it's quite the feat.
Yeah, look, it's kind of a strange situation I'm in. Like, I think if I go into any changing room elsewhere, I'm kind of middle of the pack, but I'm one of the senior players, and kind of I've taken on a different responsibility with this group of players, where like you have to be that senior figure, you have to set standards. And when you look at it, like this year there's myself, Mikey Rowe, Ethan Boyle, kind of the older players at the moment, and we have to be the senior figure, because if not, like no option really. But again, that's kind of something I've taken into my game as well, as that bit of maturity. A completely different outlook on it now compared to when I played with Jews at Longford a couple of years ago, or the first time at Wexford, or any of them spells. I really have a different outlook on how I play the game and how to compose myself around the dressing room and stuff.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that actually, because I think a lot of people, and we would have spoken about it on the pod, looking at yourself last season, you had a great season with Wexford, and it's not that long ago that you had a very difficult spell in the league where you signed for Longford going up into the Premier. I think you only scored 2 or 3 goals that season, and then you went to Longford were relegated. You went to Shelburne, they were relegated. So you suffered back-to-back relegations, only scored a small handful of goals across 2 seasons. Like, personally, what did that do for your confidence that couple of years?
Yeah, Kieran, it was really tough. But it was a case of I went into a Longford team, and to be fair, we weren't the greatest. Like, chances are hard to come by. But look, it was one of them. But in the past, signed for Shells, we had a good squad, but again, COVID hit. I think we played 17, 18 games. Again, it wasn't a case that I felt like I was missing chances. It was just a strange couple of seasons for me, and it really did hit hard. Like, it was tough. And I remember Ian Ryan then rang me at Wexford for the year, and to be honest, I was thinking about like football work. It was tough. Like, it was.
Were you thinking of packing it in?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say packing in, but it was definitely a case of just reevaluating where I'm at. And to be fair to Reiner, he really wanted me. He wanted me to be the main man up top. And I think that's the case. When you look across my career, any club I've played, like under various managers, even if I wasn't scoring, I was still playing. So I think I offer more than goals, but the case where when Rainer rang me, I met him and it was kind of, he persuaded me, but again, I wouldn't say packing it in, but I was definitely looking elsewhere. But since then, I've kind of kicked on. That first year I went back to Wexford, I think that's double digits now for the last couple of years, and really enjoying it. And look, again, it was a flip of a coin back then. I had to look at other things, but yeah, I'm firmly focused on the football now and really enjoying it again. And look, that's what I had to do for a couple of years, just plug away and try to get back enjoying again.
Yeah, and again, like, we've taken great joy in seeing you do so well on the show here, because you mentioned at Longford you were playing every game and you weren't scoring, but I don't think any fans give you that much stick because you were working your socks off and you were just in a team that created very few chances, and then you went to Shells and again there were circumstances there that just weren't ideal for you as a striker. So it's great to see you doing well. And at 25 years of age, do you have the ambition to maybe try and get back up a level or two again now, or is there a bit of trepidation given how things went? Like, if there is to be another move in your career, will you take a lot more care? And I'm not saying you didn't take care in the decisions you made in the past, but will you kind of double check everything before you make that next step in your career if there is to be a move in the next couple of seasons?
100% Kieran. Definitely. I was a bit naive in the past with my moves. Kind of didn't really sit down and think about it. Obviously, when Shells came in, that's a big club coming in, and I jumped at it like I think anyone would really. But again, maybe some of the career moves are questionable. When I had other options, which probably would have suited me better for the stage I was at in my career. But definitely, when you mentioned going up another level, I definitely still have ambitions of playing the game for a long time and getting to the highest level possible and seeing what I can do. I'm kind of making up for lost time now from the past. And I think every season I was trying to get better and score more goals and improve my all-around game. And I think I'm doing that. So definitely looking to keep kicking on and see where I can get.
And obviously you were in that Shells team that were relegated in 2020. What happened there? Because I think a lot of people felt there was enough quality in the dressing room to stay up, but it seemed like the wheels really came off towards the end of the season. Because at one stage that season, there was talk of Shells pushing for a top four finish and for Europe, and next thing you knew, they were in the first division.
Yeah, it was a strange season. Like, we started the season against Pats at home, I remember, Dublin Derby, and we won 1-0. I think we played two games after that. And next month of the season was put on hold. We got back. We were flying. I think we were sitting fifth or sixth, maybe. And we looked at the table and we're actually closer to a European place than we were to relegation. So it was Finn Harps below us at the time. And I remember they put a serious run together.
Mm.
And they just pipped us in the end. But again, I felt that dressing room we had definitely had enough, definitely to stay up. But again, it's a strange season where you can't really put a finger on it. We had a huge following that year and we let a lot of people down in the club. And it was kind of one of them going into the playoff. Like, it was tough to pick ourselves up again and get going against Longford in an empty Richmond Park. Like, it was tough, but again, it's hard to put a finger on that year, Shells.
There was a lot of rumours that maybe things weren't great in the dressing room towards the end of the season. Did you maybe sense it was a bit of a sinking ship?
I wouldn't even say that. I read a lot of things about that, about fights in the dressing room and all this crap, but nah, there's never none of that. Obviously, there'd be a few scuffles, you get that in any dressing room, but never nothing to upset anyone within the dressing room. Again, Ian Morris is a manager, I think we all would have ran it through a brick wall for Morrow, definitely myself anyway. Anytime he decided to play me, I'd run myself into the ground. But again, there was none of that. It was kind of just one of them. And we let a lot of people down in the club, a lot of good people like Johnny Watson and a lot of people, all the fans and stuff. But it's hard to put a finger on.
Well, Johnny and the boys are enjoying themselves now, that's for sure. That they're flying at the minute, aren't they, under the duffer?
Yeah, 100%. His birthday today, actually, so shout out to Johnny. Legend. It's a great club and it's great to see him going so well.
Come here, look, we won't keep you much longer. You're a very busy man between training and work and all the rest, so we really appreciate you taking time to chat to us. But your next game is on Friday. Refresh my memory who you're playing. Treaty, isn't it?
Treaty at home, yeah.
Yeah.
Three home games in a week, so.
Again, Treaty, bit like Wexford to be one of those teams thinking, you know, this is a year we can maybe do something special, and they've got good support behind them this year. So it's a big game.
Yeah, 100%. Look, they've had a good start. They're good players. We know what they're about. Tommy Constantine going down there from us. Great player. Played with him the last couple of years. I know what he's all about. Enda Curran, Yo-Yo Maddy. So they do have a good group of players there, and have a big following now in the Marketsfield, which is also great to see for the whole league. So yeah, it's going to be a tough game. You know what you get with three dogged. And we'll be confident going into that. No doubt.
Battle of the strikers there. Curran against Dobbs, two ex-Longford men.
I think he had a bit of a better spell than me, did he, at Longford?
No comment. would you be eyeing up that golden boot this season?
Yeah, look, that's the aim. No point in hiding it. I think last year I got 15 in all competitions, so why not go one further this year? I see a lot of good strikers this year. Jack Doherty, obviously in a good side, going to get goals. Enda Curran, Christian Magerson and Bray. So success at Finn Harp. So there's a lot of good strikers in the division this year. We'll just wait and see. I'll keep doing my best, and hopefully I'm thereabouts at the end of the season.
Lovely. I'll get on you for the first goal on Friday, so that'll do. Aaron, thanks so much for speaking to us, and best of luck with the rest of the season.
No problem. Cheers, Ciarán. Thanks for having me.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net, or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, great to hear from Dobbsy. And Gary, we'll look at what happened Friday first in the First Division. Bray 2, Cove 2. If we were ever expecting a game to feature over 2.5 goals, it was that one. Longford 1, UCD 2. One of the worst performances from a town team in living memory. Cork 1, Athlone 0. Cork making more heavy lifting of it, but getting the job done, which just seems to be the way of the world at the minute with them. Kerry 1, Wexford 1. And Kerry picking up a draw on Monday as well. Against UCD. So they're unbeaten in 5 matches, Kerry, which is great to see. And also on Friday, Treaty suffering a home defeat against Finn Harps. I suppose we'll start just going through the Monday games as well. Cove 1, Longford 1, fairly dull game of football, that one. Wexford 1, Cork 1. Cork fans weren't too happy with the performance there. Athlone 1, Treaty 0, Harps 2, Bray Wanderers 0, and UCD 1, Kerry 1. And we spoke about Stephen O'Donnell and some of his post-match comments. I think a manager, or a head coach, excuse me, in the First Division that garnered some headlines over the bank holiday weekend was Ian Ryan. He seemed to lay down the gauntlet for his players after that defeat against Finn Harps.
We start there, will we?
We'll start there.
Gonna refresh people's memories about the comments.
Sent you the quotes there last night. Let me just
I heard them, and I listened to the video. I know what he said. I think the main
headlines. He said, "We're soft, we're an easy touch, not enough leaders, not enough men on the pitch."
Yeah,
again, I asked you the question of your player in the dressing room, how does that go down? Do you accept the challenge, or do you say, "F you, lad"?
I don't know. I haven't seen them last Monday against the town. I thought they played they were rubbish, but managed to dig it out of the fire in the last kick of the game. So that's one thing. I don't know. I think I'd be hoping that, like, if I heard that, like, I'd be hoping to pull myself out of it and get a reaction myself, because, you know, a lot of their performances have been absolutely desperate. The defending has been
comical,
and they don't seem for turning. They just have a lot of ineffective players, not doing much, no communication. I think the equalizing goal on Friday,
the keeper comes flying out.
Was it that one? Was it?
Yeah, that was Friday. Yeah,
yeah. And you're just like, what is going on here? The defending, the communication. Like to be fair to Ian Ryan, like, it must be soul destroying.
I can't be having that. Like, this is going on 2 seasons.
Yeah, I know that. But like, Yeah, look,
they're very predictable. They're very predictable, Bray. Pass it around, right? They'll take the lead, maybe. Then they will give you a hilariously bad goal. Then they'll throw the big man Cole up front for 20 minutes. That is literally, you don't need to watch Bray. That's what they're at most weeks. I just find it strange that he's decided now to come out with these comments. It reeks of a manager that, as you said, he's at the end of his tether with what's going on the pitch. But I think back to this was going on last season when they had players like Dave Massey in that back line. And now I look at it and it's a far less experienced back line and you're laying down the gauntlet. Why didn't this happen 12 months ago when there was players in there that could probably take it? I'm not saying that there's players in the back line there. I don't know them personally. I don't know what way they react to these comments. I'd hope, as you said, this will put a fire in their belly and they'll say, Jesus, let's get a howl of ourselves here and sort this out. But I just find the timing strange. I don't really think it'll help anyone, to be honest.
No, certainly not. And probably, like, to an extent, I'd say as well,
comes across as another head coach that's under extreme pressure. Again, I don't know internally whether there's pressure there, but certainly if you speak to Bray Wanderers fans, there's a lot of pressure coming from the fan base at the moment, and it looks like Ryan has reacted to that a little bit.
Yeah, he certainly has. Like, and I don't know, like, he's surely saying similar things in the dressing room, and he just hasn't, you know, come out and said much publicly before, but he certainly hasn't. So it kind of seems strange, as you said, now that he has chosen this time to
take a stand
and like throw down the gauntlet, as you said, about, you know, how players are going to perceive themselves and their own performances so far in the season, because like they're probably cutting themselves to a degree because they've been terrible too. So
I said that last week, cutting themselves the way they play.
We'll say, when you look at individual antics that are going on the field, they were winning the game up to like the last kick of the game, a ball into the box, defender or co-player runs onto it, takes a chest in the box, no challenge, no block, no nothing, and he volleys it in to rescue a point for Cove. And then down the other end, the Cove's first equaliser, like, as you mentioned, what the hell is going on there? I don't know where the keeper is going. Like, he must be Paul's brother, this boy, because he just runs away from it. It's just strange stuff. And I think, like, there's also just not good players as well.
Yeah.
There's an element of that too.
I don't know where to go next. Do you want to go to Cork next, or do you want to go to Longford Town?
No, I want to go to Longford.
Yeah. So, look,
Friday, are we?
Was only place to start was Friday, beaten 2-1 by UCD. Scoreline doesn't really reflect how poor Longford were. As I said, it's one of the worst performances I can remember from a Longford Town team. I've seen teams take much heavier beatings than this, but this was just absolutely lifeless.
Lifeless doesn't begin to describe it, to be honest with you. It was an absolutely shameful performance. I thought Oisin Duffy was the only player that could be remotely satisfied with his performance. Or Oisin Hand would be the only player that could be remotely satisfied with his performance on Friday. I can't think of one other player.
No.
That impacted the game. Set any kind of example for other players. It was actually incredible that two former underage players, Emmanuel James, who actually got a goal back for Longford, and Gilly Prosty, were the only players that came on and actually impacted the game in a positive way. It was desperate.
I will say UCD were very good. We've been critical of the standard of the First Division so far this season, but UCD were really, really good. But now, again, you have to take into account what they were up against.
Yeah. They were up against nothing. Absolutely nothing.
No, but they still used that freedom to go and pass the ball around and have a good night at the office. So UCD have impressed me. But, and again, we go back to that question from getting the hotline a few weeks ago. When do you stop taking results home? This one's going to take a long time to get over. And I know Longford have played a game since then, but That is one of the worst performances I've ever seen from a Longford Town team, ever.
Yeah, and like when you think back to like lots of games back in like 08, 09, 2010, like just after being relegated from the highs of the Premier Division and getting into cup finals and all that.
Even to go back to the live cup game on telly a few years ago against John Caulfield's Cork City, I think Sadlier got a hat-trick, but Longford lost 7-0 or something in front of a massive crowd. I wasn't annoyed about that at all because they were, you know, a far better side than us, whatever, grand cup, who cares? They're like,
I mean, a man sent off after 10 minutes.
The other night was embarrassing, whereas I suppose a 7-0, you should think of it as embarrassing, but it's like levels or whatever, you know, but like the other night was just... We're getting played off the park here by UCD.
Oh, there's played off the park and then there's played into a different
dimension.
Which is what happened on Friday. Do you think Longford got a good reaction from the game on Monday?
But there had to be some sort of reaction. I still don't think there was enough of a reaction. I think the first half down in Cove was decent. By the way, the new Astro wasn't impressed with it. Now a lot of people at Cove said that 6 or 8 weeks it will settle in. I really hope it does because I didn't like what I saw the other day. No. But that's no excuse, by the way, for how Longford played. First half, they were okay. They were solid. Not creating a huge amount of chances, but, you know, bit more organised looking than they were against UCD. But as I said, it wasn't possible to be any less organised or any less, you know, alive on the pitch. So yeah. I was happy enough. They were one up at half time or whatever. Grand. Couldn't hold on to it. Conceded a very bad goal. And Cove had the better chances. Now, I do think a draw was fair. I thought it was two very average teams at best. But if anyone deserved to win it, it was probably Cove on the chances that were created on the day. But no, not enough of a reaction from me.
Yeah, I think a draw was a fair result too. Not great teams are not in great places at the minute. I think the
Cove were going okay. I thought the boy McKevitt up front was very, very good for them.
Yeah, no, he was grand. O'Brien Whitmarsh was also good as well. He's great by it, like holding on to the
ball. I'd love to see him higher. I know they were playing him a little bit deeper behind McKevitt, but I think Whitmarsh is just so good at pinning a centre half and just making your life hell. I think you have to have him up there as a bit of a wrecking ball. Now, that makes him sound like he can't play football. He certainly can, but...
Oh, very much.
I definitely would have him closer to the goal, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I certainly see what you're saying, but I think he, where Kovar at the minute, he offers too much in the position he's in. So I think they'll have to maybe get someone else in to maybe fill that role a bit before he can vacate it. But Ocean Hand again actually was very good. He made two or three unbelievable goal-bound blocks in the first half and the second half. He was very good again. I did think Longford were better, but as you said, like if the forget about if you're going to put in something like what they did on Friday.
Yeah, like if you were 10% better than Friday, you'd still be one of the worst teams on the planet. So it had to be better than it was. I know I spoke to Stephen Henderson after the game for the local radio, and like he made very valid points. You know, the injury crisis at the moment, the all the postponements, and then having to catch up. Like I think that was Longford's fourth game when they play Kerry, I think it'll be their fourth game in 14 or 15 days or something for, you know, first division players. That's very grueling. But it's a bit like you said with the Ireland team last week. You're jaded, you're tired, you just want to win games. I'm the same with Longford now. Like, I'm not calling them excuses because what he said in that interview, more than valid. But I'm just tired, especially someone that's, and I'm not looking for a gold medal here, nor are you, but like we're going to all these games up and down the country. And you just want something to get behind. And at the moment, it's just very, very tough as a Longford Town fan.
It is very tough. And I don't mind going to the games or anything like that. But like, I don't think that... how unacceptable was Friday?
Off the charts.
No, not to you. To the players.
Well, I'd hope so, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. So, yeah, I don't know.
We'll move on before we turn to tears here. Who else? Yeah, Cork City. I suppose they're a fan base that they're very high or very low. They're still unbeaten this season. They're still top of the league. But if you click into the full-time post on their Twitter after the Wexford game, you'd think they'd just been relegated again.
Yeah, very cold reaction there.
That came off the back of a win on Friday night at home, and I was only 1-0 against Athlone, scrappy enough. And that's
scrappy
generally...
enough on like a goal from a header as well, particularly with the way Athlone are going. You know what I mean? Very ropey themselves. You might have expected a bit of a stronger performance at home, but look, they got the job done. And
they were without a few of their better young players on Friday because of international call-ups, Cork. But like we keep saying that they haven't wowed anyone. They're not probably in top gear. But I just don't think they will need it to win this division. I've seen every team now, bar Kerry, and the only team that has impressed me so far was UCD. But again, you have to take into account that they were playing an extremely bad Longford team on the night. I haven't seen Treaty yet. No. I've seen 8 of the 10 teams, and no one has impressed me. Really, Cork impressed me in a way against Longford in how they managed the game, and I think that's what will get them through.
I think that's exactly it. Like, they don't have to wow everybody. I think you chatted to Tim after the game, and you know, you mentioned a professional performance, professional result. In a way, it was like I don't think they created enough chances. Like, the two goals that they did get were from mistakes. I know Jack Brady made a couple of really good saves on the night. I know I'm going back a while here, but I think that when they got their noses in front and the way they just continued on in their professionalism, let's say, made a big difference that night. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing as the season progresses. So, yeah. A bit of an odd reaction. Cork have been in the first division, you know, twice in their short history. So, it's a bit tough on fans, but I think, you know, it's kind of where they are and where they've kind of found themselves. So, I don't know, are they expecting like Galway level performances since Galway were last year?
That probably is part of the problem, all right. Kerry, great story, isn't it? Unbeaten in 5. I know they haven't won any of those, but you've got to feel that maybe that first win is not that far away, and who knows, it could come on Friday against Longford.
Direct, what do you think about Friday? I know I'm putting the cart before the horse.
I don't think Longford will win the game, put it that way.
Okay. Right. Do you think they'll lose?
I'll be going for a draw, I'd imagine, in the predictions league. But as I said, this is a good news story at the minute for Kerry.
Very much so. I think they're probably going to be looking at this, you know, as the season progresses, that, you know, this is a point in time that they probably let go.
The only disappointing thing at the minute, there is so many games where they're not getting the 3 points that they should be getting, or even a point that they should be getting. They go back to the Treaty game, they miss a penalty with the last kick. There was another game where they had a great chance in the last couple of seconds and they turned it down. They could have a lot more points on the board, Kerry, but I suppose that's par for the course where they are in their development at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's the key. And like, I suppose when you look at it in last season and all the hard luck stories from Billy, do you think they're going into... I know they're playing better and they're more competitive. They're not getting blown away. It's hard to know. Hopefully, look, all I'll say is I hope that their first win doesn't come on Friday.
I suppose the other big story from over the weekend then was Treaty, their unbeaten run coming to an end. And not only that, they actually suffered back-to-back defeats. They were beaten on Friday by Finn Harps in Limerick, and then they were beaten on the Monday away to Athlone. Now, we had predicted last week on the pod that this might happen at some stage to Treaty, although you said you thought the unbeaten run would go on a little while longer, but I think we both felt they were maybe... they had more points on the board than maybe performances maybe merited. But for Finn Harps, a great weekend for them. The win against Treaty, who at the moment would be viewed as a direct rival for playoffs or maybe for slightly more. And then the win against Bray. So I'm going to put it to you. I think I might have already asked this season, but who do you view as Cork City's main rivals in the first division?
It's anybody's guess. I think the quality of the division is so low this season. It's very hard to see who's going to put up a sustained challenge.
I think if Success stays fit, I think Harps are probably, they'll be right up there as the main challengers. Wouldn't see them outside of the top three. UCD really impressed me the other night, and that was without Ronan Finn as well. So it might be dangerous to write the students off. They've got good pedigrees, you like to talk about at this level. So for me, yeah, they would be the two main challengers to Cork. I think Treaty probably will be in the playoffs unless there's a big fall off. I know it's early days to be talking like that, but you look at the likes of Longford and Bray, they're massively underperforming at the moment. Kerry, it's a big ask for them to try and get a playoff place. I suppose, forgetting about Athlone, but they're just so Jekyll and Hyde, and that's the way they will be throughout the season, I think. So they might sneak into one of them final playoff places, but they'll just be so up and down all season. So that's, I haven't mentioned Wexford. They'll probably just cruise along like they did last year. So there's I've named more teams than is possible for the top five. I do think probably Harps and UCD are the main challengers to Cork to put a cap on it.
I'd say UCD are a closer challenger than Harps. Unfortunately, I think Success is going to pair off.
Don't see that happening unless he gets injured, and I hope he doesn't for his sake and for.
Yeah, no, certainly not. I hope no one gets injured, but. Well, actually, no, there's a few players. have a list. But no, I wouldn't like to see him get injured, of course not. But I don't know. I just don't see him sustaining this level of goal scoring for the rest of the season for Harps, to be quite honest. But
he's creating goals for them as well. I think he's a better footballer than maybe we give him credit for.
Oh, there's no doubt. And look, we haven't seen enough of him so far this season. So I think obviously that's not helpful. But yeah, that's my opinion, man. Yeah, I just think UCD, and even like we'll say, as bad as Longford were on Friday, which I think we've covered, the play from UCD.
You can get another solid half hour of me yet if you wanted.
Oh, absolutely. we might do that in a different format. But I think there was some really good players, a really good player from UCD on Friday. Some of their stuff was just very good and very professional, very measured. Yeah. And I think that'll stand to them a lot this season. So I think they're going to be closer challengers than Harps to Cork. But I think you're right in saying that Cork are going to probably, I don't want to say cruise, but like kind of just saunter into the top spot.
Yeah, they won't lose enough games. No. Right, we'll stick with the first division for now as we move into the Between the Stripes LOI podcast predictions league. This is usually where I update you on the table, but I actually can't find last week's prediction. So I'm going to have to listen back to the show and update the table during the week. But I think I had a good week because I went 2-1 UCD against Longford, and I think I got a few other correct results and maybe even score lines. So I think I had a good week. Joining us this week, though, to play against myself and Gary is Kieran Carrick, who is a Shells fan. He's been sending us his predictions most weeks, and he's not far away, I tell you, but the pressure's on him now because he's actually on the show and his predictions are about to be aired to the world. So we'll start, as I say, with the First Division games, and we heard from Aaron Dobbs a little bit earlier on. He'll be in action as Wexford take on Treaty on Friday night.
Yeah, big opportunity for Treaty here. Like this is a good test for them because probably what do you call it? Wexford and Treaty are going to be duking it out for a playoff spot. I think though in the end the two of them will get in it. So, like actually, just when you look at the fixtures written out here, Wexford Treaty. And then Harps, and you see our next ones to talk about. I think that based on what I've seen so far, that'll be the four teams in the playoffs, which is unfortunate. Big test for Treaty here. Like, can they turn it around? Can they come back and lift themselves after a poor weekend? Don't want to say damaging weekend. I think of that weekend that Longford had a couple of years ago where they lost to Cork and Galway and just blew them out of the water. I'm gonna go 1-1 here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the same as well. Wexford, probably not firing just yet, but they kind of did this last year, didn't they? Started slowly and then just slowly built momentum as the season went on and kind of went under the radar. And I think they'll probably do the same this year as well. You've touched on it already. Harps, sorry, by the way, Kieran, they're going for a 1-0 win to Treaty, so he does think Treaty will bounce back. You've touched on the Harps against UCD. This could be a chance for both teams to kind of send a bit of a message to one another. How do you see this going?
Tough old trip for UCD up to Ballybuffet. I think they could get something out of this game, whether it's a win or a draw, I'm not sure, but I think I was impressed with their like cuteness, more, you know, their management of the game and stuff like that on Friday. So I think that's going to be a very tough test for Harps. I'm going to go, I think UCD could squeeze a 2-1 UCD.
Oh, I was going for a draw and I've changed my mind. I'm going for a 2-1 win to Harps. I just think I was impressed with UCD, but they'll not have as the Harps will go after them here the way Longford didn't. And the one weakness I probably did see potentially.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah, Kraft.
I can't say it is a weakness because we didn't see it tested on the night, but I look at their centre halves and Harvey O'Brien there. Not the most mobile-looking chap. Now, he played well on the night. He's quite comfortable on the ball, as you expect from a UCD player. Holohan next to him was very good on the ball, but he actually looks a little bit slight. And I just think someone like success up against them too, pace and power, I think that could be a nightmare for them. So I'm going to go with Harps to nick at 2-1. Kieran going down the middle. He's got a bit of BTS-itis here. He's going for the 1-1 draw. Right, take a breath here, Gary. Kerry against Longford. I'm going to go straight in here. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, it's going to be a very tough game for Longford.
It was kind of Mount Hawk Park at the end of last season where the wheels came off in terms of Longford's playoff push. They drew 0-0 here and they never really recovered after that. Even the game they won down there, they were very fortunate to win 3-2. So they found it very difficult down in Mount Hawk. Very tight surrounds. The pitch isn't great, to say the least. And it could be a wet old weekend by the looks of things. I just think everything here could be pointing towards Kerry's first League of Ireland win at home, but I'll go for a draw, but I wouldn't be surprised if Kerry win this.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I think Longford had a tough weekend.
Every weekend's a tough weekend at the minute.
Yeah, well, there's that too. I'm going to go 2-1 Longford. And obviously, as regular listeners will know, I don't think I've never gone against Longford. I've never said Longford are going to lose a game. That's against my philosophy.
yeah, you're too wedded to your philosophy as well.
Yeah, except mine doesn't really matter.
You need to start looking at a few stats. That's your problem.
Longford need to really, you know, wake up.
Do you feel like that at the minute? There's a couple of players you'd just like to grab a hold of and shake and just say, come on lad, wake up, you're better than this.
No comment.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that actually in a nice way. I think they're a lot better than what they're showing, and a couple of lads just need to, I don't know, is that a confidence thing? I don't know what it is, fitness, I don't know, but like, you're better than this, lads, come on. You're killing us here. Right, Bray against Athlone. This is going to be high scoring again.
Whoa, what about the other chap?
Oh, sorry, Kieran goes 1-1. Bray Athlone, surely goals in this.
Surely goals in this in the Carlisle. Jenny Mac, it's so hard to know. Like, some of the defending, both of these teams have been just so bad. Athlone had a good result on Monday, though. Bray haven't had a good result all year nearly, or certainly not a good performance. I'm going to go, I think Athlone can do it here. Maybe Dean Ebb can
He could have some joy against this back four. Yeah,
he scored a very important goal about 10 years ago for Longford Town in the Carlisles. Maybe he can channel that again, or maybe he'll go on holidays, who knows. But he'll yeah, I think 2-1 to Athlone.
Okay, I'm going 2-2, and Kieran's going 2-2 as well. Cork against Cove, the first Cork derby of the season.
Yeah, big one in Turner's Cross.
Jack Doherty back up against his old side.
Yep. I think Cork will have too much for them. I wasn't impressed enough by Coven, as you kind of alluded to. Not great teams on show on Monday in St. Coleman's. I'm going to go... I think Cork can turn it on here. I'm going to go 2-0 to Cork.
I'm going 2-0 Doherty to get the two goals.
Ooh.
And Kieran going 3-0 to Cork City. So everyone expecting a comprehensive win there. Right, into the Premier Division. Derry against Dundalk. Two old pals facing off here, and both of them under immense pressure, it would seem.
It would seem, yeah. I nearly want to say 0-0 just to be an arsehole, which I already am. But I don't even want to think of Derry. I don't want anything to do with them. 1-0 Derry.
Yeah, I'm going the same. The only difficulty with making a prediction at this stage in the week is that there is a bit of doubt over Pat Hooban, I think.
If you need Pat Hooban to beat Dundalk in their current format, you may wind it up, dissolve it.
But he's a guaranteed goal scorer here, I think. A guaranteed goal scorer. He is going to prove a massive point here. So on that basis, I'm going for a Derry City win. But
sorry, just on that, he's not out to prove anything. He's already Dundalk's top scorer in their history. Is that right?
Yeah, but I think most people would feel the way he left Dundalk for a player his status, it wasn't right.
Maybe.
And I think his comments since then would kind of allude to a man that.
So it's revenge he's looking for.
I don't know what to use the word revenge, but I think he'd like to probably. Do damage to a few people.
fair enough.
1-0 across the board from all three of us there. Bowes against Waterford. Rennie very quickly goes back up against...
Just on that 1-0 from the three of us, some indictment on Derry, isn't it?
Really is. Yeah. Bowes, Waterford, Rennie goes back up against his old club quite quickly here.
This is in Dalymount, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, good opportunity for him now to, you know, he had to get introduce himself to the... The Bowes faithful. Do you think they'll get a bounce here enough? Kind of hard to know. I'm not sure. Will they be?
Yeah.
Like, I think that obviously they'll be up for it on all of that, but I'm not sure will they get enough out of that. Look, I'm going to go 1-0 to Bowes.
Okay, Kieran's going 1-0 to Bowes as well, and I'm going 2-1 to Bowes. Pats against Rovers, probably the game of the weekend.
Definitely the game of the weekend, there's no doubt about that. I think this is a huge test for Pats, obviously, considering who's coming to Inchicore, but I'm kind of... I think Shamrock Rovers will win. Actually, no, I don't. Could this be... Oh, God, I don't know, because I'm not great. I'm not going good here. I'm going between a 0-0.
Come on, you're like the town players. Believe in yourself, lad. Come on.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You go first for this one now.
1-1. You can, again.
Whoa, oh, God, boring.
We're going to have to start putting a quote on 1-1s. Give ourselves 3.
Oh,
that's my third one now. I'm going 1-1.
I'm going to go...
I'll give you another bit of help. Kieran is going 2-1 to Rovers.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, follow the listener. 2-1 to Rovers, you go there. Drogs against Shells. Is this going to be a tight and scrappy game?
I think it is going to be a tight and scrappy game. I think it's going to be... I think it... without sounding too negative about Drogheda, they're going to have to like really drag it down, you know, lower the, I don't know what you'd call it, like I don't want to say like lower the performance or anything like that, but like kind of really, really, really frustrate Drogheda. Like, I think there could be a 0-0 here.
Yeah, I did think that momentarily.
Only momentarily?
Yeah, I've shifted.
Oh, where have you shifted to?
Shells.
1-0 Shells.
Yeah, 1-0 Shells. It's going to be like 1-0 to the Arsenal all them years ago. That's going to be Shells' new motto, I think, this season.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Drogheda a bit of hope here. I think they can. I think they'll be able to do something here. I think they'll be able to limit Shells if they really, you know, adhere to a game plan and just stay at it. I think they'll be able to actually nullify Shells. So I'm gonna say 0-0. And maybe like a world class post game interview from Duffer.
Ah, well, Duffer against Doherty has been box office the last couple of seasons, so that could be an interesting game on Friday for many reasons. Finally, we have got the Connacht Derby. Good to have this back in the Premier Division. Sligo Rovers against Galway United.
Jenny Mac. Big test here. Did we talk about the 3-0? Pat's Sligo game?
We touched on it briefly.
Yeah, back down there to Sligo fans. I think I said it to you on the way back from Cove, got me out of jail with the Sligo fans. We won't be tripping as much. There's an opportunity here for Sligo. I think they could. This is going to be a very, very tough game. I think maybe in a way that Galway believe that they'll be, you know, on par or close to Sligo. Come the end of the season, like I'll say, they're only 2 points behind in the table. Galway probably haven't scored as enough goals.
No,
which is, and you know they're main enough at the back, but I think they need to up their scoring capabilities going forward. Like even Waterford have scored 10 goals, whereas Galway only have 5. But yeah, I think it'll be a good game. I think Sligo will shave it.
I don't think there's anything. No, but Galway games, good games, don't really go hand in hand. I think a lot of people felt Eamon Deasy Park looked great on the telly the other night against Bowes, but probably wasn't the best choice of game, which is probably fair. Go on, what are you going here?
I'm going to go 1-0 to Sligo.
I'm going to go 1-0 as well, but I'm going to go for a bit of a mad one here. I'm going to go 1-0 Galway.
Oh, mad. Pure mad.
I'll try and replicate that Derry result here. Kieran obviously thinks I'm mad because he's going 2-0 to Sligo Rovers. So an interesting set of fixtures coming up in the League of Ireland this Friday night. Before we go, we have got the BTS hotline. And as I said, a lot of people here with a lot of comments about our beloved Longford Town. David Sweeney, it's 7 months today since Longford Town last won a competitive game. Now, I very quickly put him back on track, Gary, and pointed out that Longford did beat Athlone in the Leinster Senior Cup in pre-season. But yeah, I was actually saying that to a couple of
lads. And beat Dundalk. Beat Dundalk, don't forget that.
That wasn't competitive. It was friendly.
Oh, well.
To me, it was a cup final, of course. So
take it, yeah.
Yeah, but I was actually saying to a couple of lads at work today, the last time I was saying, like, me and you going all over the country following Longford and all over the Europe and beyond following Ireland, and the last time excluding Gibraltar that we won, we watched either team win a game was like September last year, and lads were like, wow, your life must be miserable. They have no idea.
Yes, it is miserable, to answer that question.
He wasn't first in this week, which is a shock, but he's second in line with a question. Has anyone ever got an accumulator up in the League of Ireland? That's a tweet of the week, definitely. It's been tough going this season. I thought in the first couple of weeks, I thought I was onto a few sure things. And the last couple of weeks, I haven't even bothered with a bet because, yeah, it's just absolutely mental so far this season. It's not fair. 1895 SFC, Shells fan. With preparation of, and this got the most likes by a mile, by the way. With preparation of a third tier of football to come into the League of Ireland, where do you see Longford finishing in it?
I know, around mid-table, lad. We might tease ourselves with a few promotion pushes, but on current situation, I think mid and around mid-table. Maybe between Minute IT and Waterford IT or something like that. just before we cut across, I had a kebab on Monday.
Yeah, sorry. So I actually wasn't going to bother with the BTS kebab review this week because we went so far out of our way to find this kebab because, as we said on last week's show, Cove, just they don't know what they're at down there with kebabs.
Oh,
so.
Blind, yeah.
So
yeah,
that was probably our best decision of the weekend, to get out of Cove as quickly and as far away as possible. And we ended up in County Tipperary. I can't remember the name of the town we're in.
Cahir.
Yeah, we're in Jack Brady country. Again, I can't remember the name of the place we were in. You might have it.
Emac Fromaggio or something like
something
that.
Something like that, anyway, yeah. Yeah.
Found it on maps.
Yeah, you got a kebab. I got I went for the best of both worlds, pizza kebab. Only okay. There's a new Italian place opening in Dock, does unbelievable pizza. So I'm kind of, it's hard to please me at the minute pizza wise. So that was probably a bad idea there. But we should point out to the listeners, we had the three meals of the day. That's how long our trip to Cove was the other day, with the breakfast on the way down in the, was it Junction 14 filling station?
Yeah, good breakfast as well, yeah.
Top class. Forget about the Barack Obama Plaza. Stay out of there. Junction 14 just beforehand. That is the bee's knees. Best service station we were ever in. Got a great full Irish in there for about 11 quid. Then we obviously had the kebab on the way back, and then we stopped for ice cream because we were getting a bit sleepy and went to Supermax. So, yeah, we made sure to get something out of the weekend anyway. But, yeah, go on, tell us about your kebab there.
Yeah, very good. Very lovely, Nan. Good fresh bread.
Friendly lads.
Friendly lads. Lovely lads. Yeah, highly recommend the place. So I'd probably give it, 4 out of 5. Meat was good. Lots of sauce. Yeah, hit all the major kebab points that need to be hit. So very pleased.
Very good. So if you want to get out of Cove, head towards Tipperary, then that's the way to go if you have an away trip down there coming up. Right, Harps, a Harps fan. Series one of games is always mad. Shells 8 clear. Bows could be second if they win their game in hand. Cork have only conceded 2 goals, but only 1 point ahead. Please let the madness continue this season and not end up with Rovers and Cork running away. Harps keeping Gary bitter.
Keep it. Harps?
Yeah.
Oh. Who said that?
Harps fan.
Oh.
Ethan.
All right. Bitter. I'm a bitter old bastard anyway, so I suppose that's a fair enough comment. Okay. I don't know what else to say, really.
Speechless. Dwayne Doyle, regular contributor. Great to see us getting our dues here, guys. Your guys' description on how Derry play was so evident yesterday. Pass, going absolutely nowhere. 57% possession. And for what? 2 shots on target. Awful to watch. Shells were also poor, but with the whole squad having illness, giving Shells a bit of an excuse. So thanks, Dwayne. Good to know someone's taking note of what we say on this podcast. Cahill Campbell, another Harps fan. With the last 2 seasons Harps have had, it's just nice to be looking forward with hope rather than trepidation. Long way to go still, and the first division is probably even more nuts this year than last with some of the results. Tractor Monthly, interesting username. I think he's a Bows fan. Bows really matched Galway's physicality and comfortably dealt with everything they threw at them. I think Galway will struggle after the first round of games as sides have experienced what they're about. Would you agree with that, guys?
Sorry, say that last part again.
He thinks that Galway will struggle after the first round of games as sides have experienced what they're about.
I probably would agree with that to a point. I think, I wouldn't be a massive fan of the manager. I know he did really well last year, but like with the squad and everything else going on, like that, they were just unstoppable.
He's probably what they need first season back in the Premier. I just
very much.
I hope that they won't be. You were spot on about Harps a couple of years ago. What's next? Just trying to claw in there every year. Now Galway obviously have much greater finances than Harps to try and go and kick on, but it will be interesting if they stay up this year. How ambitious are they in the coming seasons? I think that's something to think about Galway. Aina, who is an Athlone Town fan, would you trust any League of Ireland manager to take the Ireland job considering Kenny got it? I'd be happy with any of them to get it now at this stage. So jaded with the whole Ireland thing. But no, there's no League of Ireland manager at this moment in time qualified for that job. I know there was a couple of Twitter accounts out there the other day saying it was a joke. The Bradley and Duffer haven't been considered. Damien Duff is managing a wet weekend. He's doing a fantastic job and he has the makings perhaps of a future Ireland manager. But at the moment, that's all it is. And Stephen Bradley, yeah, he's done unbelievable in the league with Rovers. But Europe has been disappointing. And that's why Stephen Kenny got the job, what he achieved with Europe. So,
Is that the reason, is it?
That's what put him on the map. And I don't think Bradley has done enough with Rovers to be in consideration for a job like that.
I think that's right. I don't think there's any League of Ireland manager next or near it.
Or player for that matter.
No, there's no question about that. No doubt in my mind.
We'll move on to the next one. Elon Musty, again, this links in with Ireland. What will happen first? Longford Town win a game or Ireland get a new manager? God, they're really after us this week, the listeners.
Well, I think Longford are going to win on Friday. And that's that.
Jack, football may be a team game, but Waterford with a fit Barry Bagley are a mid-table team. Without Bagley, we'll be scrapping with the loud teams. I've rarely seen a team so affected by the absence of just one player. If his injury doesn't clear up soon, we'll be in trouble. And also, spending 75,000 on Rakowski from Warsaw is some serious waste of money. Must be up there with Anthony to Man United. Constant stupid mistakes and can't head the ball, even though he's about 6'6". What long sawing him to warrant that outlet, I'll ever know. And it's got a few likes that, so there's obviously a few people that that agree with him, but.
Yeah, what did Ethan? What's he, you know, 50p head? I hadn't heard that in a long time, and it's a great way to describe someone. But I think like, there's a clear relationship with, like, he brought him into Bowes as well, didn't he? So obviously he sees something in him that he likes, but also the way it was ending up last season, at coming to the end and. In last season in Bowes, like, there was a lot of players that wanted out and wanted to get away from that whole setup. So it's probably very easy for Long to pick up the phone and get him in. But 75k is some outlay for that.
Yeah, well, that's according to Jack. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, no, wrong, but, I have no idea.
But yeah, fair enough. Christy Ryan, how did Longford leave Cove with a point? I think a draw was a fair result, as earlier in the show, but Cove missed a couple of moments where you're just waiting for the ball to hit the back of the net and it never did. And you're like, how did that stay out? So for that to happen twice in a game, was probably unfortunate on Cove's part, but they should be putting them in the net. PK, who is a Derry City fan, who will be the next Ireland manager? I think as Gary's at this stage, don't really care.
We can't answer that question. Sorry, lad, but I don't. The only criteria is he can't have done a coaching course in the last 20 years, 20 to 25 years. I know I went back on that last week by saying something about, like, last maybe 5 to 10 years, but I take that criteria, or I would take the criteria of that they've managed exclusively international teams in the last 5 to 10 years. I don't want to know about anybody else. I don't care if I've never heard of the man or woman that has managed before. I just want it done. If it's John O'Shea, I lose the rag. I don't want Gus Poyet either, because there's just been too much shite talk in the last week about him, and that means that I was going to say RTE there, another shower of egots. It means that the FEI haven't done their job either up to this point, and going on about, we're going to announce it on the 12th.
I saw
something there last week about the 12th. I don't care. It needs to be done. 12th of July. 12th of July. I don't give a damn. I just want it done with. I'm tired talking about it. I know I've just even talked more there, but I'm just so tired.
I'm tired too. I'm too tired with Longford at this moment in time to even think about.
Yeah,
this
let's
mess
never
up in Abbastown.
Yeah, and a note to all hotline submitters: let us not talk about Ireland anything until the manager is announced, and then we'll go from there. Because I'm just so tired.
Yeah, I think our listeners are tired at this stage. I'm tired. You're tired. Okay. Let's end it there. That was Series 8, Episode 8 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Thanks to Aaron Dobbs for joining us on the show. And as ever, thanks to Gary for joining me, the listeners for tuning in and sending in your tweets, to Kieran for playing in the Predictions League this week. And of course, to our brilliant sponsor, Anthony Quinn and Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. Please let us get an Ireland manager soon. And please, Longford Town, win a game ASAP this weekend, if at all possible. Until next week, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.